I started in the public schools in 1966. I was there until 1979, and I will be the first to tell you that I learned a great deal in public school. I had very good teachers who taught me how to read and write, even cursive, which I find is a dying thing. I learned geometry, which I used to build my house. I learned American history, math, sciences. I had printing shop, I had metal shop, and I had wood shop, and a whole lot more. But my education in public school ended in June of 1979, or so I thought. Little did I know, but God wanted to teach me even more inside the public school. And so in 2002, my education resumed. You see, on October 19th, 2002, I returned to the public school where we had our first service for Westbridge Community Church, and I have been there every Saturday night since then. I didn't study any of the things in this time that I had in the 13 years I had been in public school previously. Instead, God had a different education waiting for me in the public schools of Warren County. God would teach me who He was and how I should live for Him. He would use the next 15 years to introduce me to new people and to challenge me with trials and to surprise me by showing up so powerfully at times that it would give me chills. Now, in hindsight, it seems clear that our journey of doing church in a rented school was designed to teach us and shape us. And I believe it was God ordered up and God selected for us to do church in the public schools. I mean, with 3,700 churches closing every year in America, I knew at any time God could have some church approach us and ask us if we wanted to purchase their building. And gang, we looked for that, but it never happened. I also knew God could send us a believer with very deep pockets or a collection of buildings and just hand us our own church building. But that never happened either. Instead, God supplied what we needed each week, and it was always enough. My new public school education taught me that just enough is plenty. We'll make that lesson one. Just enough is plenty. Let me show you what I mean. Here in 1 Kings chapter 17, look at this story. It says, "Then the Lord said to his prophet Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you.' So Elijah went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, 'Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?' And as she was going to get it, he called to her, 'Oh, and bring me a bite of bread, too.' But she said, 'I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal, and then my son and I will die.' But Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again.' So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah." Now, friends, this is a Bible story that every child should hear as they're lying in bed getting told their bedtime stories by their parents. It's a story that illustrates so powerfully and proves Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, saying, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, but God first, and he will give you everything you need." You see, gang, God provided just enough for this widow and her son to make it through the journey God had them on. How incredible it must have been for the widow to uncork that clay flask each day and pour out what seemed to be the last drizzle and the last couple drops of oil necessary to make the bread, only to find the same drizzle and just enough drops the very next day. Now, God could easily have filled that jar. He could have filled it with oil. He could have done that overnight. But God didn't do that. Instead, he gave just enough for each day. And he never forgot. And he never missed a day of providing. And friends, that's because just enough is plenty. I know we like it when God drops big, overwhelming blessings on us. We have all seen him do that. But the public school lesson that God has taught me over the past 15 years is that there will always be just enough oil in that flask. He will always be able to find a place for us to meet together and worship together. Just enough is plenty, and God will always supply just enough. We started Westbridge Community Church in the Stuartsville Elementary School. And within a few years of meeting there, we were informed that there was a very loud and a very livid person attending the school board meetings. And this irate person wanted Westbridge Community Church out of that school. I never met her. I don't know anything about her. But it didn't take long before we received a letter telling us that our rental fee was being tripled. When I heard that, I was floored. Because I knew we couldn't survive that kind of increase. This would be the last of our oil and the last of our flour. And Westbridge would surely die. We would be taken down. And we would be defeated by a loudmouth in a school board meeting. Foolishly, I worried. And I scrambled. And I lost heart. My faith was too small. And my conviction that if we were seeking God's kingdom first, all these things would be supplied. Well, that promise was not something that I was doing very well at taking to heart. God was showing me something that I needed desperately to learn in my faith. Philippians 4:19, God will fully supply your every need according to his glorious riches in the Messiah Jesus. Psalm 34:10, even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. You see, God's providing for us is a lesson that we learned well in our school years. But God providing our facilities would be like us living paycheck to paycheck. And in this school lesson, we learned to believe in God. We learned to depend on him. And we learned to become well accustomed to relying on God to supply. Since that time, 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, I've never worried. Learned that lesson well. I've never worried or fretted about our facilities. I have never worried about our ability to continue to hold services. Haven't done it. Learned my lesson. And don't get me wrong, I would keep my eyes open and I would explore possible sites. We would all make phone call inquiries. But through it all, we knew God would be the one providing. I knew I didn't have to do the providing. My job was to do the believing and the trusting. And through it all, I learned just enough is plenty. That was one of the lessons I learned doing church in the public school. But my education didn't stop there. Secondly, I learned this. Humbleness is a blessing, not a curse. Humbleness is a blessing, not a curse. Now, there are a lot of descriptions, gang, of God in the Bible. A lot of descriptions of God in the Bible. Even God describing who he is himself. One of the most prominent of this happening is where God describes himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. God says this in Exodus 34. He says, I am the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger. I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity and rebellion and sin. Now, this is so intriguing to me because it is God describing himself. I mean, if they used red ink in the Old Testament, these would be red ink sentences because it's right from God's own mouth. And this description is really pretty full and a pretty broad picture of who God is. And what is most surprising is that God does not paint himself as opulent. He does not paint himself in his majesty. He does not paint himself as daunting, which he well could. Instead, he describes himself to us as compassionate, merciful, controlled, understanding, patient, always there for us, and unconditionally wanting the best for us at his own expense. Oh, and very quick to forgive us. In God's own words, that's who he is and what he is like. And this is not the only time we are told this, that God is like this. Jesus himself describes who he is, God's own son. In Matthew 11, 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, the two words that Jesus uses here to describe himself are very unexpected. He says, I am taponos. I am taponos. That means I am of low estate. I love this part. Humiliated in circumstance and disposition. And then he uses the second word. He says, I am prahos. I am humble, tender, and sensitive. It's quite interesting that God the Father and God the Son do not paint themselves in their majesty, do not paint themselves in their power, and do not paint themselves in their authority. Instead, God shows himself to be relatable, caring, and understanding. The picture of humbleness. In fact, the magnificent Jewish temple that Solomon built, the temple Solomon built to be God's house, in all its grandeur, that house, that temple, was not designed by God. Not a bit. Solomon designed the temple. And he desired that temple, Solomon desired that temple, to be imposing. They say it's over 20 stories at its highest point. Solomon designed it to be awe-inspiring. But God had no hand in designing that temple. You want to know what building God did design? You want to know what the building? God said, I'll tell you what I want to be my home, my dwelling, my meeting place for my people. Great, God, describe it. What do you want it to be? He designed a fabric tent. It was called the tabernacle. But don't let that word fool you. Tabernacle means tent. Nothing more. Just tent. God designed a home for himself and a place to meet with his people that was humble. It was something that could be torn down and packed up and put in a cart, a trailer of sorts. Jesus says, I am humble, of low estate. In Westbridge, we are called to be imitators of God, to grow into his likeness and exude the qualities and characteristics of him. Humbleness is not a curse. Humbleness is a blessing. We say goodbye to this school and all the schools tonight because God said that we should. But I don't ever want to lose the attitude that God modeled for us and instilled in this church body. God was born in a barn. God lived without much money at all. And God met us in a church that resides in a red trailer. In this humble setting, our humble God transforms humble hearts because he's really all you need. And for the past 15 years, well, he's really all we've had. Our humbleness has been a blessing, not a curse. The third and final lesson that I learned in public school, there is no substitute for thankfulness. There is no substitute for thankfulness. I enjoy cooking, but many times when I'm cooking something, I don't have the right ingredients. So I'll jump online, and real quick, I'll see if there are any alternatives or any substitutes that I can use. For instance, if you run out of vegetable oil, well, you can use applesauce. That's an acceptable substitute. If you run out of sour cream, well, you can use an alternative. You can use yogurt. If you run out of soy sauce, you can use Worcestershire sauce with a little bit of water. These are acceptable alternatives. But what I have learned in our rental in the public schools is that there is one ingredient in us that has no alternative and has no substitute. And that ingredient is thankfulness. If you have thankfulness, God can cook up a nice little church. But if you don't have thankfulness, your church souffle will flop. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, God commands us, let every detail in your lives, that your words, your actions, whatever, let it be done in the name of the Master, thanking God the Father every step of the way. When Miss Kelly and I headed out that August morning 15 years ago to rent a school, we would have been happy if they gave us a simple classroom. You can imagine how grateful and how thankful we were when they gave us a large multi-purpose room and gave us two classrooms to go along with it. That thankful attitude that we danced out of that school with has grown. And it's embedded itself here in Westbridge. Thankfulness has become part of the atmosphere of our church. And thankfulness is one of the identifying traits of a West Virginian. West Virginians want to go to church, don't they? West Virginians are excited about being together. Am I right? West Virginians don't like to leave this room at 9 o'clock, do they? West Virginians don't like when church is canceled. West Virginians are thankful for anything they get, and it shows. You see, if one is not thankful, I really can't find any other God-accepted alternative. A person who is not thankful can try, let's try being unthankful. That doesn't work. If a person is not thankful, I guess they can substitute in being indifferent. But that doesn't work either. If a person is not thankful, they can try being miffed. They could try grumbling, being resentful, angry, disillusioned. But guess what? None of those work as alternatives to being thankful. Because there is no acceptable substitute for thankfulness. And friends, I am eternally thankful for the ability to rent these schools for almost 15 years. I believe you can even call it a miracle. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but in the time we have been around, in the 15 years Westbridge has been around, did you know that New York City passed a law stopping the practice of renting their buildings to churches? Did you know that over 60 churches in New York City were forced out of their school renting? And they remain out to this day. It's pretty clear, gang, that there's a spiritual battle going on, because that's the only explanation why a financially struggling school system would say no to a guaranteed weekly income. I know for us, over the past 14 and a half years that we have rented, remember, we started out with nothing. I remember the first offering I ever got, $300. I was floored we had $300. In the 14 and a half years that we have rented, we have happily paid the school system over $250,000 in rental fee. You see, Satan hates the church. And I have said so many times as I stand right here, I am so thankful for the ability to rent this school and to be able to proclaim the name of Jesus here in a public building. Westbridge may have never been born if it weren't for the hospitality and the approval of the public schools. And I give incredible thanks for that. So as we close the book of Westbridge, Volume 1, The School Years, let's learn well the school lessons God has taught us here. Lesson 1, just enough is plenty for us. Our oil will not run out until God says so. And until then, we have everything we need because we have Him. Lesson 2, humbleness is a blessing, not a curse. I love Proverbs 17, verse 1. It says this: it's better to have nothing but a dry piece of bread to eat in peace than a big house full of food with everyone that's arguing. And the third and final lesson: there's no substitute for thankfulness. I'm going to ask the band to come back and our worship leaders. And as they do come back, I can think of no better way to leave this place. I can think of no better way than to fill this place with the voices of thankfulness and the voices of praise of our amazing God who has given us what we need for 14 and a half years. I want to fill this place with praise because I don't know if this place will ever be filled with God's presence again. like it has when we've been here. Let's worship together. Would you stand? Now, Lord, I pray that you would go with us as we follow the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. Lord, we will do what you've called us to do, and we'll do it wherever you tell us to do it. Thank you for the lessons you have taught us here. And I pray that you continue to turn us more into your image. Our desire, Lord, is that people who are lost would be found. People who don't know you would come to know you for who you really are. And that you would take us with these new lives that you've given us and help us to live them in a way that advances your kingdom and puts a smile on your face. Thank you for keeping your hand upon us for 14 and a half years and for now telling us to go to a land that I will show you. You lead, and we promise we will follow. We leave this all now in your hands. Lead us on, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. School's out.